Good morning. I'm David Ellis, and I welcome you to this, the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks for the 13th day of July in the year 2020. Certainly hope that you had a wonderful weekend and you're looking forward to achieving great things this week. You know, we are at a very interesting stage where it comes to the whole question of dealing with our economy while at the same time grappling with COVID, and the reopening of our borders will certainly present us with some new challenges. I think my observation is that what we've seen over the last couple of weeks since the lockdown suggests to us that many people were relieved, but therein lies the danger, because it is possible to be complacent in these circumstances, and therefore the calls that you're hearing from others, for Barbadians to pay attention to wearing their masks and that sort of thing, remains most important. As we speak, if you look at what's happening across the world, we've got about 12.9 million confirmed cases overall. We've got over 569,000 global deaths. The United States alone is at the top of the list right now with 3.3 million cases, 135,000 deaths. Then there's Brazil, 1.8. Their deaths are second to the United States at 72,100 deaths. Then there's India, Russia, Peru, when it comes to the number of confirmed cases. So caution is absolutely necessary going forward. It's a very difficult situation facing the authorities and all of us here in this country. Jamaica, they've done exceedingly well when it comes to deaths, but when you look at the number of cases that they've had there, 758 is the number that I see this morning, 758 confirmed cases. You see, Guyana, Guyana is fascinating because so much focus is on Guyana's elections that we seem to forget COVID in Guyana. Guyana has 297 cases of COVID, and it has had 17 deaths? 17 deaths. And the fear coming out of Guyana is that perhaps the focus on the politics has been a little bit of a distraction. So, here we go today. We have got not only the concerns that are being raised about what could happen with the reopening and the extent to which it's just forcing us now to just redouble our efforts to be careful. But along with that, there's this emerging discussion about the waste-to-energy project. You know that Barbados has had a major challenge with respect to the disposal of its garbage, and we are long overdue in dealing with the landfill at Mangrove. Therefore, we need a solution to that, and we do need a solution to the whole idea of being able to generate more energy from the waste that is produced in the country. But it is coming up with a solution that is acceptable to all. Therein lies the difficulty. Now, do we accept that the government cannot be relied upon to be the main source of any new project. In other words, you can't anticipate that the government will be setting up any project and financing it itself. So there has to be some attraction to the private sector. Now, I've heard the argument that says, you know, well, we need to have more of a, pay more attention to recycling and that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, whatever you come up with must be seen as viable by the people who are going to put their money behind it. And this is part of the debate that must take place in Barbados. In all of this, though, the underlying message or concern about who are the private sector interests and to what extent we can indeed encourage not just the established names, but new names in Barbados to be part of the ownership of a project of this nature is also crucial. But let's take a call this morning, first call of the day. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790, that's the number for you to call. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir. How can I help?
It seems that don't care how we change the status quo of the government, everything still remaining the same.
Such as?
Corporate interest. Everything is corporate interest. Everything is corporate driven. Everything is investors. Everything is these people that put out the money, who's going to invest. Meanwhile, the people suffering. Is it a case that these neoliberal policies, which America have been running for the past 50 years, Barbados trying to run them, never suit the people's interest? They just suit the wealthy interest?
Well, I think in asking that question, you also have to look at what success you've had from the other approach, which I believe to be an approach that you favor heavy government involvement to protect the people, right?
I favor low government. The problem with
you
the government,
favor low government?
The government to me right now is too big. When the government is so big, it's only serve the technocrats. It's only the top people. They don't serve the interesting people. One time in back in the 70s, the 80s, the healthcare is to be good, garbage to get collect. But as more and more time go on, you get these bigger people, this ministry, this person need this body, that body. And what it does, it sucks up the money for the smaller man.
Well,
when the smaller man in actual effect, it's who's be carrying the country. Like, for instance, so there are 27 ministers, right? Before they had 23. But really, truly, it don't be the ministers that be running the country. It is be the people that be running the country. Mr. Ellis, you can run this country. The problem with this country is taxes. The people who have all the gains, they don't want to pay their taxes. And they squeeze the tax, they squeeze whoever comes office. But so if you don't play by my game, I'm going to shut you down. But you know what? The time for that done. If we really want Barbados, we got to be straight with Barbados. If we keep beating around the bush and square edging this thing, we need to tax the right people. It isn't like they don't have enough. It's more than enough. The world, Barbados have never been so rich, and in the time of so much riches, The people are crying, David. Sure, they might give us 2 trucks and give us 2 buses, but that's what we elect the people for, to do the business to the people. But then the people then get it, say, oh, this government do this. Any person that praises the government for doing anything, they're mad. The government just taxes the people to run the system. That is the fact.
Well, let me deal with the what I see as a central issue here, which has to do with how much the government does and how much the government facilitates the private sector to get the job done. Over the years, as you well know, the Barbados situation is one in which we have been led to expect that the government will do most things. This COVID situation, Has it not proven something special here? That we cannot rely upon government alone to get things running in Barbados. That if you have no private sector And if you have no private sector activity, then your goose is cooked. Isn't that correct? Isn't that why we are reopening the borders right now, even though some people may think it's premature?
Okay, we go back to the COVID. If COVID was actually as dangerous as these people be saying, all these people in New York and in London that are bums, that are people on the streets, they be dropping dead. Come on. We know this. Certain people might not want to admit this here, but it's fact.
But, sir, in all seriousness, you
this
only...
This is the takeaway off of the real issue. Equality, that's the real issue.
Sir, quite a lot of people have died of COVID, you know.
How many people have died in Barbados from COVID?
And why haven't more people died?
Because there's nothing out there.
You really believe that?
No, not a belief. I do.
But let me ask you something.
This is fact. Does the virus carry a nucleus?
Good grief, I got... You sound like I'm talking to one of
Trump. Carry a nucleus.
I don't know nothing about the nucleus, but I want to say... Let me say something to you.
Stop.
Because the only reason we have not had more deaths in Barbados has a lot to do with all the measures that had to be taken.
All the measures are smoke screens. They're destroying businesses that took 50 years to build. Meanwhile, the businesses that can withstand this here and maintain it, they go buy these businesses pennies for the dollars.
You sound just like one of the Trump supporters.
Have
you seen what happened in Texas and Florida after all that was done there? Do you realize the extent to which reopening the shops and the bars in particular has created a crisis where you now have...
Who is giving the numbers? Where does the numbers come from? Who's giving out these numbers?
Well, I thought they were coming from the government.
No, they're not coming from the government. That's the thing. Why did Trump pull from the WHO again? These people giving out false information.
There is one way. You may see it that way.
In New York, right?
The way that I see it is that the Trump administration mishandled this crisis in the early stages, and it had to find a scapegoat because Trump does not take responsibility for anything.
Can I say something?
So that's why the World Health Organization is the great scapegoat.
Is Trump
now
a politician?
Precisely, he is.
He's not a politician, right?
What is he?
He's a businessman. He came from the business background.
He's a politician now. He's more politician than he is businessman.
Okay. Since Trump has came, right? The status quo that was going on for the past 40 years, what has happened to it? It stopped. The wars have stopped. These interventions have stopped. Stop vaccinating the people. He's looking towards America. He is a leader for the country.
You want to take me to the broader issue of Trump's presidency. I'm not dealing with that.
Yeah, Trump has nothing to do with it.
Neoliberal
policy.
I am dealing with COVID.
Trump is neoliberal too. He's a businessman. He sees out for the business people. But the government remember, America is three different governments. You know, is the government, the other government, and then there's the judiciary. So three people pulling these strings at three different ends. We don't have that in Barbados.
What we have is
you do what we say and don't question anything. Anything question is out the status quo.
You got some interesting views here today. I'm sure they're quite provocative. Let me see if anybody else wants to take you on. Hold on. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, welcome.
I just wanted to say that the guy that you were talking to just now...
He's still on the line. You can talk to him.
Yeah, the guy actually write about the cases in America and stuff like that.
They're all modified.
I'm listening to you, sir. Let me hear your view.
Right. In America, if somebody die, they will say that they will die from COVID. Actually, they die with COVID. So the cases and stuff like that. Right. If you look at the lady that came here from the UN, she had COVID and she didn't know that she had it.
So you don't believe the figures either?
Pardon?
You don't believe the figures?
What the fuck it?
Your proof.
This,
Where do you get your figures from?
This is the proof. This is the proof right in front of me.
Where is it?
If this thing was passed on, as I said, was bums, the homeless people, why are they not dying? They don't wash, they don't clean themselves, they live on the street, they interact with everything, they take up garbage, why are they not dying? That's why I told you a virus does not
The possibility is that, first of all, they might have built up a greater resistance.
No,
and,
I'm...
But you're not the only person.
Listening,
excuse
listening,
me, you're not
Dennis.
The only person with a view.
Come. Listening, Dennis.
Listen to me.
Because
let me just give you a perspective on the issue where the vagrants may not be dying in the way that you would expect.
So the vagrants got an antibody within the body.
There may be a need to look at them. But in the other point of in all of this, it is how many people do they actually interact with on a daily basis? I mean, most people keep far from them. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
All right, then. So that may be a factor.
But again.
That say to me, look, the Barbadians living, only the Bajans, I'm talking about the rest of the people from the Caribbean living in the United States. I saw a video just the other day with about 70 Barbadians who have been identified as victims of COVID.
They're over a certain age, and I guess that they have pre-existing
condition. Okay, so let's.
You're
recognizing that over a certain age, they are vulnerable.
Okay.
It is no longer just statistics that you can't trust. You're not buying into the idea.
No, listen to me.
Listen to this.
Mm-hmm. In order for you to determine a person had COVID-19, what do you have to do? You have to test them, right?
Yes.
And I'm telling you that the test is where the virus is, because a virus cannot live outside the body. All of this is mass depopulation. All of this. If you go to United Nations chart for 2030, their agenda is, and you read it up, it's right there on the United Nations.
What's the agenda?
These people are saying...
What is that agenda?
These people are saying the world has too many people. There are not enough resources. This is from Mr. Vaccine himself, Bill Gates. This is from Bill Gates. The world is overpopulated. And why it is that he wants the first people to be vaccinated are in Africa. And
The next thing you can tell me is that It was G5, is it?
Why is this not the G8 no more? Why did
I'm talking about the countries. I'm talking about the technology, the communications technology.
The 5G?
5G. You would tell me that 5G responsible.
That has nothing to do with COVID-19.
Okay.
That's nothing to do with COVID-19. It's just that mass surveillance. That's to bring in, like what's going on in China. In China, these people can see no one, see everyone. That's why they want you social distance 5 feet apart. If this was working, why you tell people that don't even have money to stay home and be safe? Meanwhile, you can stay home and be safe. Not meaning you per se, but I mean people with less off people. This thing is destroying people.
Let me ask you, you live here?
Yes, I do.
Well, it is really fascinating to hear your views on this, because they are so...
Okay, I want to ask you one question, Mr.
They are so outside of the mainstream.
I never listen to mainstream. Mainstream is, as long as corporate interests and the media is one, you're not going to get the truth. The truth is be a liar when you find that. But I want to ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Why it is that these cannot get... If they say it comes from an animal, I'm going to prove to you it didn't come from no animal. All viruses are made in labs. Why it is they can't test nobody that is dead and say they died and they got COVID? Because you don't get a sample from a cell that is dead. Once it's dead, the cells in your body dead. That's fact. We got the fact things. There are a lot of people out here know what's going on. It's just the people that want to tell us this don't feel we got the capable minds to understand what's going on. But we know what is going on.
Okay.
There's a whole paradigm shift going on in the world where the people that have the money, they want to bring a new system. Because they know there's too much, the fiat currency that we've been dealing with since the 70s, it has no value. That's why this government, it will print money like the previous government. You see, these governments, they get controlled by external. They give these governments the money, while these governments have to play along and give something
so
back.
What's your answer to this, to all that you're seeing right
get rid
now?
Of
what
government.
Would you recommend?
Huh? The system, not me. The system is eating itself
you
up.
You said to get rid of government, answer. But you just spoke about the neoliberal policies. And
listen.
Neoliberal policies are driven to take you more in the direction of giving power to the private sector.
Exactly.
But you
who's
just
collecting
said,
the VAT in Barbados right now? The private sector, right?
But they don't collect most of the taxes. It's the government that collects most of the taxes.
Anytime we let private people collect the country's money, what's going to happen to the people? If these men weren't paying the fair taxes for the last 20, 15 years, what do you feel ain't going to happen when you let them collect the money? They're going to pay it in? Come on. Come on, David. Be real.
Let's move on. You've been quite provocative this morning.
We were talking the other day, man.
Please do. Don't brass tacks. Welcome to the program.
A pleasant morning to you.
Yes,
I'm
good morning, Carla. Yes, ma'am.
I never hear so much ignorance in my life. All these years I was listening to this program. Mr. Ellis, I have a friend, my nail tech sister died from COVID, and she was at the age of 41. She works at Mass General Hospital, and she caught COVID. One lady brought it in, and she caught it. I have a cousin who's in New York. He went to call me and tell me my skin walker. I don't tell me that he's dead. I got friends that die with COVID. A former officer used to work with me. He died with COVID. If you listen to at night, I listen to Chris Cuomo, and you hear the amount of people. Between June and July, 20,000 people would die. I mean, how ignorant? I mean, this ignorance to the highest. Do he listen to the news? Do he read the paper? Man, come on! I don't think Barbados is that.
But you know that he is representative of a number of people out there who see this as some conspiracy theory, you know. He's not the only one who sees it that way. You don't believe anything that the government say because you can't trust them.
But the point to know for him, I think he should be a doctor because he got more knowledge than a doctor that went to medical school. I mean, you can listen, Mr. Ellis, you can see it on the news. At one time, it made me sick because I didn't want to hear any news at all. Trump wearing a mask now, so he must see that.
He said he was only wearing the mask because he was going to Walter Reed Medical Center.
Exactly.
And there were sick people inside there, so.
Well, if he know it's a hoax, he should not get it then. He should not get it. I mean, some people could be real.
But how do you respond to his line? He says all these vagrants about the place and they don't seem to become infected. So what's wrong here? How is it that they can miss it?
You mean in Barbados?
Uh-huh.
Because had not for the Prime Minister closed these doors quick, we would be in trouble. And she used her initiative to close the doors. Because, I mean, if you look even in Italy, I mean, it hurt. I cry when I see people kneel down in the streets and throw the money because it wasn't a help to them. Oh, man, pray tell me. We could be so stupid in Barbados in 20th century. COVID, I won't want to catch it. I listened to Chris Cuomo. Chris Cuomo had it, and he said he was so frightened. He was even frightened to sleep. So you could tell me if it is only a hoax, and the stupid caller said that it is only foolishness. I mean, why Chris Cuomo is frightened to sleep? I mean, he is something else.
Well, Mr. Ellis, he provoked you this morning.
you enjoy the balance of the day because he really, really made me call. I listened to this program for years, never called, but he had me to call.
All right. Thanks for calling. But let me ask you this, though. How do you feel about the reopening of the borders now? How will that touch you?
Well, all you have to do is be careful. Once I used to work on the front line, but I'm retired now. So you got to be careful because when people first come in and you talk to them, they got a tendency of hugging you. You see, so you got to be very, very be careful. That's all you got to do. And if everybody decide we're going to wear a mask, and you got it, I got it, the next body got it. It would be down, the curve would be flattened. But if you go there doing as you like, getting on as you like, you would know what you would get. So we got to be very, very be careful, because really in truth, in America, it's hot, hot, hot. Miami, Texas, even Chris Cuomo, brother, which is Andrew, even stop people from Miami coming to New York. So you can imagine, it is this. America is very hot, and you got to be careful. Yes, we want the tourist dollar, but we can't sell our soul for it.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much for taking the time and sharing your views with us. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition. Hello. Good morning. You on the air? Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
Would you say that there should be a bank in every town in Barbados?
A bank in every town?
Yeah, there should be a bank.
Why do you think that? What difference would that make?
Well, here it is that now I'm dealing with the Christchurch area,
mm-hmm.
In Oystens. You know, the First Caribbean, they closed their bank up here in Oystens, only leaving an ATM and no notification otherwise that they will reopen or anything of the sort. And now that the market is there, the place is opened up, I'm quite sure the people that have cash, they have to leave Oystens and go down to Sheraton or Wildy. Even if they want to change or anything during the day or they want to deposit, they got to trek all down there.
But you know that the banks are really trying to force you to go online more.
Yeah, but you're still going to get a lot of cash purchases where you need, you know, the transaction where you got to deposit.
They're cutting costs as much as they can. As far as they're concerned, having all these branches all over the place will come at a cost. So this is something that we have to adjust to. And in the circumstances, you still have some measure of competition. I know how hard it is to go and open up a new account these days in a commercial bank. I know that's difficult for people. But if you reach that point of believing that it is so difficult to go to a bank and take your cash or get your cash, then you may have to consider looking for an alternative, another commercial bank that may well have a branch in the area or close enough to you.
But they're not
interested so much in that. They're looking at the cost of doing business, and as far as they're concerned, there may be too many branches in some areas.
But not in Oystens, though. Oystens, there are no branches up here. We had a Barclays years ago, and that was closed. And there was only First Caribbean up here in Oystens. And now they've closed their doors. I believe they wanted an excuse to close the doors since COVID came into being, and that's exactly what it did.
Well, if you're dealing with cash only, then that leaves you with the credit union as well.
But you might not want to deposit your money at the credit union.
Why? What is the fear?
If you have an account, say, with the same bank, you would probably, as I said, you'd have to, you know, make that trek almost, 2 miles away or so to make a deposit. I am of the opinion that there should be a bank in the town. That's what you said at the beginning.
Well, and I'm saying to you that you have to look at this in the context of what has been happening with commercial banking in Barbados and the Caribbean in recent years. You know, the whole business model has changed to a large extent. And the things that we expected of commercial banks in the past, we are not getting it exactly that way. And if you look towards the future, there is little or no doubt that there's going to be more change.
Even the pensioners normally would go in the bank, well, their pensioners would go in the bank on their day, cash, and the bank stopped that. They have to deposit
precisely.
The money.
Precisely. So, you know, what you have to be recommending to people today is, you know, online transactions as much as possible, going to the ATM as much as possible. I'm sure there must be an ATM near you.
Yeah, but if you want coins or anything of the sort, you can't get that from.
I understand that. So some change is going to have to take place on your part.
And
I don't anticipate that you are going to get a return to what you have been familiar with. And this is part of what older people in particular and poorer people will be complaining about.
But that leave it wide opening there now for other business people. When I say other business people.
Yes.
Take people's checks and they cash them for them, but they can go pay them something for cashing them.
Well, you're correct. It opens up the door for other people to say, look, there's a void here. But this is the stark reality facing us. And for you, how does it hurt you personally?
Because you have to leave Oysters and we're down to Sheraton. I think there's a long line in there. Or you then have to leave. If thing you don't want there, you then got to go down to Wildy if you're dealing with the same bank. And it's a lot of time consuming, you know, you waste a lot of time with that.
Well, there was a time when it used to be said that the customer was king. You realize that that's dead. Customer isn't king anymore, not in this context.
But not only for change, you know, you mean that there's a lot of other transactions you can do, you know, you would have done at the bank up there that necessitates what? For the bank to be open. You know, I am sort of disappointed with First Caribbean under those circumstances.
Okay, sorry to hear. But this is the trend that we've seen in the country and in the region in recent times. Down to brass tacks, hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you doing?
I'm okay, and you?
I'm good. You can hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Now, I want to start. I appreciate that first caller. There's some people that might think that he's talking nonsense, but there's some things that he said that I can agree with.
Such as?
Well, for one, he started off by talking about the country overtaxed and stuff. But I can get back to that. The last thing he said was there's a pardon shift going on in the world. And I was there listening, and I said, like, he got you on a pickle because it seems like you didn't know how to respond to him, right? There is a pardon shift going on. Even as simple as here, not one small Barbados.
What's that pardon shift?
Business, the whole thing, the whole business is done all over. And I think it's being forced upon the average person, right?
Example.
I went to the bank a day last week, and when I walked up to the door was literally locked. And the guard came and opened and asked me, what's my business today? This is a banking day, right? A business day. I had to explain to him what I wanted to do in the bank. I wanted to deposit a check. You know what he said to me? They're not taking deposits via the teller. I have to go to the ATM. Now, I don't have a problem with that. But when I deposit a check to the ATM, to the teller, it's going to take 3 business days to clear that check. If I do it through the ATM, it's going to take 5. You understand? So if you're telling me that you're going away from a certain type of business, then put things in place then that business could be efficient for me as a customer, not only for you. You understand? Now, another thing that the guy...
I really don't know that I would look at what the commercial banks are doing as the finest example of this paradigm shift that is taking place in the world. You would have to come to me with more than that because...
Yeah, I can come to you with more than that because I said that because even during this time here, we our government said that there's no COVID cases on the island. But I still see a lot of small businesses and a lot of businesses basically literally handicapped right now. Right? When I drive in on the road after 6 o'clock, businesses that used to be open at 10, supermarkets and stuff, still closed.
And why can't you have both of those as realities?
It might be a reality, but I think it's basically forced upon us.
How?
Well, we don't have any cases. We our government said we don't have any cases, but still we have to be walking with a mask on our face, and every time you go in a building or go somewhere, somebody's spraying your hands. This can make you sick.
So you opposed to that?
I opposed to it. I opposed to it big time.
So let me ask you something. There are COVID cases in countries around us. Agree?
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Let's say two fishermen decided that they wanted to go fishing. Mm-hmm. And they ended up coming into contact with people who might have been COVID. They come back to Barbados. They don't come through the normal ports. They don't realize that they're infected. And just made the point to you that the caution is still relevant, because you cannot guarantee that because you've been able to control COVID by the measures that have been put in place, that it cannot slip through your borders. So that is why people are taking the precautions that they're taking, or many people are.
I understand all of that, but I think it's a bit too much. I think it's a bit much.
Well,
if he had uncontrollable cases on the island, I would understand that, but we don't. But anyway, that's another thing. The whole paradigm shift again, we get them back.
Do you conform to what is required of you, though?
I wear the mask and everything. I wear the mask, but...
Get sanitized when you go into places?
You go to Sky Mall, you walk through the entrance, there's sanitizing there. And when you're taking literally 10 steps from there to Massey store, and somebody there at the door spraying your game. So at least you don't think that all of this spraying and alcohol can make somebody even more sick than what they're trying to prevent?
Well, I don't know of any people who've been complaining of being made sick because of their exposure to alcohol. So are you aware of people who've been telling you that?
I am aware of persons who...
What are they saying? What is the illness that they're getting?
Literally, their body can't take it, Ellis. I have a business friend that literally was home from work over 10 weeks because of this.
Yes?
Yeah. I don't want to get into her personal stuff because it's something that she says to me, but literally she said she had to actually stay home from going out, even simple to the supermarket, because whenever she go and she come back from the spraying and stuff, she's literally sick for the next 2 weeks.
But that may not be a normal situation.
It may not be a normal, but is it normal for me to have COVID cases? No COVID cases on the island. We still walking with masks and stuff. And
well, you may remember, sir, that one of the reasons why you take these precautions is because, you know, people can have COVID and don't know. It can be asymptomatic and that sort of thing. So you still have to take the precautions, and that's the danger in letting down your guard at a time like this, you know.
So what's the precaution when I walk up to the bank door, the bank door is closed and I can't...
The bank situation, I think we really need to look at it, because there are too many long lines outside of the commercial banks. While we've been able to reduce the kind of pressure that existed on the supermarkets, the situation with commercial banks is not... It hasn't really improved. I think many people are complaining about it. Part of it is linked to what the man who called earlier said, that some commercial banks have closed branches in areas, and it is putting more pressure on others.
I agree. Now, there's another point that he made that I wanted to touch on about taxes and stuff. I think that I was watching, and again, I don't really follow. I don't watch CNN news and this kind of news because I think it's biased and it's corrupt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that we don't get to that place here in Barbados. But I was watching CNN the other day when I had all the riots because I just wanted to see the footage of what was going on all over the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I find that just like Fox News, CNN is also biased. And these media houses basically put out there what they want you to see based on what political affiliation they have or whichever party that they're backing. And that's what I don't watch.
So what do you watch?
Why watch?
Mm-hmm.
I watch YouTube clips. I watch, let's call it Al Jazeera News.
Al Jazeera?
But I try to keep off with the media. I'm really not a media, social media person.
So you think the media really is being used as an instrument to hide the truth?
I saw a documentary, right? I don't know if this is something I can say, but I saw a documentary where back in the 70s, U.S. government launched a program where they train media houses, right, to put information out there that they want to fill the community with. Or what they want to condition the people to see, Mr. Ellis. And that's how we know that media houses are corrupt. Okay?
Well, you know, one thing that you have available to you is that you have multiple sources. You don't have to, if you have a doubt about one, you can check elsewhere. And find out what it is. I mean, one of the things I do, I don't watch CNN alone. I really believe that the NBC Nightly News is one of the best packages of news that I see around. I think it's, you know, it's really a very good package. But I also would want to look at Russia Today. They have really interesting perspectives on things that are happening around the world and in particular in the United States. There is Al Jazeera. And I also think that the BBC is particularly good. I think that they are good. It is not just the news that they bring, but it is the focus on other things that are happening in countries outside of Europe and the United States that you get, interesting perspectives on Africa and stuff. No, even now, the Chinese, they also have a special focus on Africa that is particularly good. So I don't just you don't just look at one; you look across the spectrum.
Yeah, I watch the same BBC, which focus a lot on Africa and stuff too, right?
Yes.
I don't really get a lot of time to watch television, so whenever if I have to turn on my television, I would scroll through to see what news is showing. But I find that I stopped watching CNN literally because I think CNN is definitely just as biased as Fox or even worse, right? All they talk about is Trump, Trump, Trump. Everything that happens in the U.S. they try to make it look like Trump. And I'm not a Trump supporter, right? But I think that where would it stop, right? Now, I want to get back to the guy where the guy start talking about taxes here in Barbados, right?
Mm-hmm.
I find that our system is set up for a certain type or class of people to get ahead and not the other. And I can tell you why. I find that whenever there are opportunities out there for agents and people all over the world right now with the internet, exposed to the internet, exposed to a lot of stuff that's going on in the world, there are opportunities out there for everyone who needs to grasp and take advantage of these opportunities. But I find that whenever agents have the opportunity to do stuff, I find that our government find a way to tax it or put a stop to it. And I can explain why. Now, we are not exposed to the internet. We are not exposed to online shopping and all that kind of stuff, right? Here is that our government put in place an extra tax onto our credit cards for shopping on Amazon and shopping online, and also a VAT, right? I wanted to bring an item from overseas, from Amazon, a couple of weeks back. And I took one item, and I said, well, look, there's a UPS here, UPS shipped from Amazon straight to Barbados. So let me try to see how much this item will cost me. I took one item out of my car and put it in to see how much it will cost me, put in the address, everything. Now, item was a $20 item. You know how much it cost me for that item when it finished? $158. Huh? That's ridiculous. Right? All the taxes and everything, the VAT and everything, that amount to this $158, that don't include the $20
item. All that will do is to help discourage you from buying it that way.
And I think that's the point I'm trying to make. Right? Why, and I see it happen all across the board, why are we taxed for 100% or more in duties for vehicles, rent? I believe that we should be in a position right now, in this day and age, 2020, that we should be taking advantage of what is going on all over the world. Like, you have other Caribbean countries that don't have to pay this much money in duties. Huh? And people taking advantage of why it seems like our government, like punishing the people for having access to these things. Every single time, now we hear another minister coming out about leveling the playing field. I think that these things, and we need systems in place, right? I think that we need some kind of reform that when these politicians come out and speak when it comes up to elections and stuff, and then a year or two after when they get comfortable, that they come and they turn, you hear the talk just turn completely. And it seems like the target then is to punish the same poor people that put them there. And I think that rather than marching for Nelson and all this kind of nonsense, when things like this happen, they just should get up and march for them for them to step down from the office that they represent, because they're there to represent the poor people.
Well, you said enough that those who have ears to hear should hear. I really am not here to defend the government in situations where they have so many people who can speak for themselves. And they are the ones who should be coming and defending the positions that they have taken. So I hope that they will...
defend it, because you know what? Nothing ain't gonna happen. Nothing will come out of it. So they ain't
yeah, but you see, I don't know that nothing will come out of it. People like you who feel this way, it is important that you speak.
I am one person. You know what? I think...
But there are other people who are saying the same thing in a different way. They're saying the same thing. All right?
I strongly believe that there's a lot going on around this country, even like service providers and stuff that come in and start on one basis, and then a year or two when they get comfortable, they come in to change up and change policies and do as they like. I think that they just need to start to come together. I think that if I would say, like, for instance, 30%. You know, everybody ain't gonna do it, right? 30% of like, if I have a service with Digicel or Flow, and I'm not getting the service that I think I should be getting, right?
Yeah.
Right? I just one person going in to Digicel or Flow and complaining. But if 30% of Digicel's customers get up on the installer, they're paying y'all for 3 months, it gonna hit them hard. 3 months. Either do something about it, get it together, or we just come out for your stuff. But you know what happened in this country? We went from floor to digital, from digital back to floor, because then other competition. And because we are so caught up in the fact that we need these services, I just one person talking. Mm-hmm. So the next man that think that he in a different class is, oh, he ain't bothering me, so you know what? I can keep mine and I can keep moving.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much for your contribution. This person says that a few minutes ago, I listened to a contribution from a caller, which should never have been given the airtime on your program. In the same way that you are vigilant with defamatory statements, giving such dangerous pseudoscience advocates an unchallenged platform on the most popular radio program in the island is equally dangerous. This is not an issue to entertain this type of both sides argument. You would be surprised how pervasive such thinking is in Barbados and is gaining a foothold with many who are willing to accept any wild conspiracy theory or fact. We are opening our borders again at a time when the Czar acknowledges that the compliance with COVID-19 protocols is waning. That contribution will help to validate the flawed thing of the many who have abandoned their mask and social distancing. Well, you know, I want to tell you that there are many people who have already made contributions to the contrary of what that person has said, and there will be more today. I really believe
Anne thinks her business is ready for the hurricane.
Intend, and therefore I do not I don't share your view that it must be blocked. Today, you know, there are so many other views on this station that I may not necessarily agree with, but I don't get involved in blocking them. That is not necessary in this day and age. We got to be far more mature than that. And, you know, that's as much as I would say on that. I am not in agreement with that kind of approach at all. There are some things that are said from time to time that when we hear them, we know, well, this one is particularly bad. And I'll be honest with you and tell you that I hear views espoused here from time to time that I do not agree with at all. But because I don't agree with them, it doesn't necessarily mean that I can shut them down. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Welcome to the program. Hello, 4341790, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
Good morning. I would have gone to the supermarket 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've bought 30 eggs, Mr. Ellis, 15.35 the first week. The second week, I went to check, 15.60. Going back Saturday, Mr. Ellis, it's not fair to us, $19.80 for 30 eggs in 3 weeks' time.
But I suppose demand must be high.
Demand, but I mean, how in 3 weeks till you can have it for 15.35 to 19.80?
So what did you do? You bought the eggs?
No, Mr. Ellis. I went and checked. I usually shopped there, but I bought 3 weeks ago 30.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and Baba in the following week, and it's that price at now 19.80. I asked one of these supervisors why it's like this. She said, "I'm not sure. Got to ask management." You can imagine.
So what did you do? You went. You bought the eggs somewhere else?
No, of course I did. $15. I usually check to see. I usually keep my receipts so I can compare. So I will have proof, and that's what happened. This can't be fair to us.
It's fair as long as you have the option of going somewhere else to buy the eggs.
Yes, I do.
Right.
Yes, I do, but I usually check. But I just want to let them know it's not fair. It can't be that y'all treated people like this.
Well, look.
No, I haven't made though.
The way that this thing works is that if you have an increase in demand versus the supply, you are likely to find that the price will go up. You do the right thing, right, because you keep track of the prices.
And not only that, Miss Ellis, I bought $30. I asked for $30 in chicken quarters last week. And I got 30.62. This week I went back, and what they gave me for the 30.85 was atrocious. No, I tell the gentleman, no, I don't need this. I give it back to him. It's ridiculous. Okay, thanks a lot, Mr. Ellis.
All right, but that underscores the importance of being vigilant when it comes to prices and being able to compare and contrast what you're getting from one place versus another.